Yes, welcome along. It's the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart in the hosting chair this week for a mixed card on ITV. We've got jumps racing action and flat action on ITV. Flat coming from Newbury, and the jumps racing action obviously coming from Ayr for the Scottish Grand National. Really excited for that meeting there. We've got an excellent panel joining me, as always, Keith Melrose and Johnny Pearson from the Racing Post and from Unibet. God knows where he is. It looks like he's in Hogwarts. But we have Ed Nicholson. We've got a busy, busy week, gents. We've got nine races to get covered this week. So we are going to get cracking straight into it. And we're going to kick off with Ayr to begin with. And we'll start off with the 110 at Ayr, which is a decent class one handicap chase here, which is a fairly open looking field. Sam Bree and Palico is 3-1 joint favourites. Calico 6-1. Le Nucroix is 6-1. Traplane Law is 7-1. Moudin 15-2. 10-1 about Matata. Aero's Luck and Classic Maestro both 25-1. Keith, I'll come to you first on this one. It's a bit of an interesting meeting, this one at Ayr, compared to the last couple of years, because Willie Mullins isn't bringing that battalion over, because obviously the British trainer's title has been decided already. So it does make this a little bit different from the last couple of years, and maybe a little bit more open.
It does a little bit, but I think it's actually a really important theme to carry through this day at Ayr, because remember, Dan Skelton wouldn't have started aiming his horses at this meeting until before he knew that Mullins had given up the ghost. So he's not throwing five at the races, but the horses that he has aimed specifically at these big air races, because, you know, even the sort of shoulder races are worth 50 grand plus, we have to pay attention to that. And I think there's two horses that we're going to talk about that share a lot of common DNA in that regard. And one of them's in this race, it's Calico, in that he ran at Cheltenham as the Skelton second string. In his case, it would be aware, I think, that was a favourite for the Grand Annual, and he finished like one place ahead of that horse. That horse went on to place in a Grade 1 novice at Aintree last week. But Calico's main aim was always going to be one of the other spring 2-mile handicap chases. Last week they had one for the Red Drum, and the air race is his. I thought he looked like he could have been on his way to the champion chase at one point in the autumn there. When he got a little bit of decent ground earlier in the season, he looked certainly Grade 2 class, I would say, in some of the races he won, including at Ascot. But having run behind Lulamba in the Game Spirit in deep ground, and then running the Grand Annual, he's now back down to a mark of 151. Loads of these are out the weights. You know, Matata is there carrying a big weight. Calico's comfortably in the weights, but the rest are all carrying pretty much the basement weight. And I think he's got a right chance here. I think also that Sombury is making the market to an extent, because we talk about horses having their day. His big day was a week ago in the Red Drum, or 9 days ago, yes, in the Red Drum. All about that for him. He had the run of it. He finished third. Can't see fairer than that. And it is asking a fair bit of him to come and win this when you've got a horse here in Calico that's very much having his day here.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and you can imagine the Skeltons, as Keith said, have just planned this day for a long, long time. So Calico for Keith Melrose in the 110. Johnny Pearson, for you then, the opening race at Ayr.
Yeah, I can fully see where Keith's coming from here, but I'm not fully in agreement with him. Matata, as you rightly mentioned, is carrying a big weight compared to the rest of them. And I'll be honest, since winning at Cheltenham in January, he's been pretty disappointing, and he's pulled up at Aintree, just over a week ago. Not sure what happened there. Didn't get too far through the race. But seemingly the horse has got nothing wrong, and he's right turning out here again. And based on what we saw in January when he won at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, when he was in a handicap over 2.5, okay, maybe he wants the ground a bit softer, but actually it was good ground that day. I haven't got a problem with that. If he does turn up in that sort of form, he could put 6 lengths between him and the rest of them, as we saw him put 9 lengths beyond Il Redotto back in January. For all he's £4 higher now than that, I think he's still well handicapped at 158 compared to the majority in the field. When you look at some of them, are out the handicap as well. I don't see the high weight carrying thing as an issue. I think he's the class horse in the race, and I think that'll be good enough to get him through, provided he turns up on form.
Okay, fair price then. It's at a top weight for Johnny Pearson. And Ed Nicholson, like I say, live from Hogwarts for us. Who do you fancy?
Well, I've got a strong fancy in this first race, actually. I really think the track and the weight will suit Palacio. He won at Newbury last time. If you watch the replay, Dylan Johnson didn't take the first in the lead, but by the time they went past the the winning post. He was a good 15 lengths clear, 10 lengths clear. And he won like a horse that's ahead of the handicapper because he set a large gap. He then came back to the field, breather after the cross fence, and then kicked on again. I thought that was a really good performance, being put up £6. The ground's going to be crucial here at Ayr. At the moment, the going is down as soft on my Racing Post website. I think there's a bit of rain due Friday and Saturday. I think it will be good to soft. A lot of horses here that have been declared because they're hoping for the better ground. Palacio goes on all sorts of ground, good to soft. He's run four times at Chepstow, so I know the horse very well. He's won twice. But that performance last time out, I just thought he was a step ahead of the handicapper. I don't think he's a real class horse, but he's only, 132 now. He's still not a great jumper. He still misses his jumps. He's not fluent. But I thought that he was a horse ahead of the handicapper. He needs to be because he's got that £6 extra. But, I thought this track would be made to suit. I could see him and maybe Matata going on. And Palacio seems to stay a little bit better as well over these days. So that's the tip for me. We are going best industry price on this race from noon. So you won't get a better price on this race from 12 o'clock, which only gives you an hour and 10, I know. But at least it's a concession for you all.
There you go. Some decent tips there for this race then. Palacio for Ed Nixon. Remember, head to Unibet's website or the app to find out all the terms and conditions with regards to the offers they have for the ITV racing, and I will go to Ed for most of these races to find out if there are any extra offers throughout the card. Right, let's move on then to the next race from Ayr, which is the 145, and this is the Novices Champion Handicap Chase 3-mile contest. It's a Class 2 event, and we currently see Diamond Dealer as the 130 favourite of Unibet. Just Overland is 9-2. Cafale en Voie is 15-2. Cadeau San Fray is 8-1. Loads of French names today. Big John Wayne is 10-1. 11-1 Belt Milcree, 12-1 bar these. Johnny Pearson, to you first. We've mentioned Skeltons could have a big day and they could have planned this, and they've got the favourite in this one.
They haven't. You know, he was a good winner last time out, a good second at Weatherby, and I'd expect him to run well, and the market shows us as much as that. I thought the Sam Thomas horse, who's second favourite, Just Overland, was quite interesting here. He was £10 out of the handicap when second behind Matata, actually, on New Year's Day. He got put up for that, running a fair race by in a grade above what he'd been running in, essentially. And then he hadn't been seen until March, where he ran a respectable race when finishing third at Sandown. But he hit a couple of fences on the way round, which took a lot out of him. He only finished four lengths back. He actually ran pretty well in reappearance that day, given he'd had a couple of months off the track. And that should put him in a much fitter and better position for this race here today. And you sort of wonder, right, have they deliberately missed the time from January targeting sort of these more later season races? I think they probably have the yard. The yard, I feel, are pretty shrewd. And I'd like to think there's more to come. He's still up 123. Had he not made those mistakes last time, it'd be rated higher than that now, having would have finished closer as a result. And I think he looks pretty well weighted for a handicap still, and I think there's a win to come from him off the mark of 123.
Okay, yeah, towards the top of the market. It looks like the kind of race you could see a horse coming from the top of the market. Any agreement there, Keith?
I think we talked about the Skelton angles, and I was quite keen on Calico, but it all depends on the strength of the opposition, really, and I think the opposition's quite a bit stronger in this race. I thought the one that had been missed with the prices, really, was Cadeau San Fray, who earlier in the season beat Kim Rock in a novice handicap chase at the November meeting at Cheltenham, went off favourite for the novice handicap there on trials day that Jordan's Cross won, and then he finished third in the old Racing Post chase at Kempton. He shaped as well as the first two in that race, as far as I'm concerned, and look how he ran another belter last week, the horse that won that race. And but for his Cheltenham run, I think he'd just about be favourite here, and I can write off that Cheltenham Festival run no problem at all. Nothing really got involved from the back in the Jack Richards, and I do think this horse ultimately wants 3 miles anyway. So I thought Cadeau San Fray was absolutely the one to be with here. I think he should be really knocking on for favourite.
Okay, yeah, Cadeau San Fray. I love the Ansi Honeyball Sam Tristan Davis combination as well. Absolutely love it. Ed Nixon, you're going to be the final selection in this race here. Who do you like?
Yeah, difficult race. We are going extra place in this race. In fact, the next this and the next two races at Ayr, we're going extra place. And it is a competitive race. There's a horse here who I just can't get right. And he's one of those horses that will win at a big price. And you'll think he'll win a bigger race and he probably won't progress. And that's Califay en Vol. I think the whole team at Nicky Henderson's thought he was going to run a big race on trials day. When I think he came fifth in the end. But then he won next time out at Kempton and then probably disappointed the time after that. So he's not a horse from a betting point of view you can trust 100%. But I do know that the stable do think he's not badly handicapped. James Bowen goes up. He is the best horse in the race and is available at around about 8-1. So there are other horses that probably are more consistent. And if you're looking for, you know, a bet, you probably would go elsewhere. But for me, he's going to probably be my cliff horse for the next year. Because he's going to win a race at big odds, and I don't want to be off him when he does that. So I'm going to select Califay en Vol, but there are plenty of horses here with a chance. Diamond Deal and Just Overland, two that stand out. But I think at the prices, Califay en Vol could just be tasty at around about 8-10-1. So I'm not suggesting everybody follows me in on this occasion, because it is more than a heart than a head bet, I think, because I keep on getting it wrong with him. But Califay en Vol to win this for Nicky and James Bowen.
Okay, you'll probably hear Califay en Vol's name in Ed Nicholson's mouth around October, November time as well, then, by the sound of things. But there you go, that's the selection for Ed. And it's worth mentioning, let us know down in the comments who you like across both cards at Ayr and Newbury this weekend. But I did get a message off Ed yesterday saying it was a Haydock on their card on Wednesday, the Unibet sponsored card there. And a gent called Richard came up to say that he was a big fan of the show. So hello to Richard if you are watching. And a famous listener as well, Andrew Gemmell. The famous owner of Paisley Park, obviously, and many other great horses. He's also a big listener of the show. So, yeah, big thanks to Andrew for tuning in. I don't know who else we've got, but I'm sure we'll find some more famous listeners as well. But do get involved. Let us know down in the comments you like, do like, and do subscribe to the show. Right, let's move on then to the 220 at Ayr, which is the Coral Scottish Champion Hurdle, which is a handicap. It's a Grade 2 contest over 2 miles, and currently Teller the Name is the 5-2 favourite. You never guess it for the Skeletons again. Captain Hugo's 9-2, Tutti Quanti's 5-1, All in You is 7-1, 70-2 about Queenie St. Clair, double figures about the rest. Keith Melrose, to you then here. Interesting, because Teller the Name was the big hype horse for the Coral Cup, wasn't she? She was the one that Skeleton kind of lined up as his best handicap chance, didn't really come off to what they wanted. And then you've also got a horse in here like Tutti Quanti, who obviously didn't enjoy Cheltenham and hasn't enjoyed Cheltenham, but returns to a flatter surface. And there are two class animals potentially in here.
Yeah, they both had you've got Tutti Quanti is really a Newbury horse, and you know that does give you a bit of a hope coming to Ayr. They're both flat tracks, both sort of galloping, very different to Cheltenham in a lot of ways. And I can sort of see that angle there. But Teller the Name is the horse I was talking about earlier when I referred to the sort of calico method, and that, you know, he went off the Skeleton second string. It was Sinatra was the main one in that race. He finished fifth in the county hurdle and he finished placed in the top novices last week at Aintree. So, you know, the aim was always going to be coming back for something like an Ayr. You know, Teller the Name was midfield, but not beaten far really in the county. I think that the price, he's been well enough found that I don't think I'll be actually extending to back him, but jumps out a little bit in this field. You know, we talk about horses that are here having their day. I don't see all that many really obvious sort of plot up jobs, whereas, you know, Teller the Name will have been this race, you know, from at least Cheltenham, or would have been at least in the back pocket when they were getting him ready for Cheltenham. So yeah, I probably won't be getting involved at the prices, but I absolutely think he's the right horse.
Yeah, 100%. I really do agree. Ed Nicholson, I can imagine the Unibet traders would be a little bit worried about the Skeleton multiples at Ayr on Saturday. That's going to be the one. And is this potentially the banker of the meeting?
Well, I mean, Teller the Name, wearing a hood for the first time, has been backed already, 4-5-2. And I actually spoke to Dan on Wednesday because he won a couple of races on our Unibet sponsored card. And he's in great form, and the horses are even better form. And as Keith so eloquently said, they would have been targeting this race meeting for a long, long time. And he is such a target trainer. He's done so well this year. So I wouldn't put anyone off backing Teller the Name. But she's very, Teller the Name is very short here. I personally think Captain Hugo's done nothing wrong lately. Long way to come up for Philip Hobbs and Johnson White, but they do like to travel to Scotland with his horse. Kelso won last time out the Moor Battle, wasn't it? That's a good performance. That's always a competitive handicap these days. Never used to be a handicap, as we know. But a competitive handicap beat 16 other horses to win that. So they've been put up £6. And I watched the replay before coming on the show today, and it was always travelling well. Used to pull in the early days, but maybe a fast run race suited. And ran well at Musselburgh the time before, when I personally think he would have won, falling two out, was it? And before that, ran at Haydock. I think he's still an improving hurdler, and I still think he's rated low enough to make his mark here. So 135, that'll do for me. And also, Sam, another fellow I met at Haydock, Trevor. I said I'd give Trevor a mention. He came up to me and said he loves the podcast. So hello, Trevor, who will be listening. But yeah, fantastic days racing up at Upper Air, and I hopefully got the right one here.
There you go. Yeah, hopefully Captain Hugo then, Fred Nixon. Who are you in agreement with, Johnny Pearson? A big hello to Trevor as well. But who are you here with, Johnny Pearson? Who is the one for you? One towards the top of the market or someone else?
I am against both Keith and Ed, obviously, because they're both wrong here, and it's going to be won by Tutti Quanti. You could say, oh, he's beaten 20 lengths in a champion hurdle. He's a champion hurdle. I know this is a handicap, but when you're rated £16 better than the next rated horse in the race. He didn't run badly in the champion hurdle. He didn't really want to go, but he's on Racing Post ratings, only £2 below the effort he put in at Newbury, which is a very good effort still. The track's going to be more to his liking, and he can still improve on what he did at Newbury. We don't know that. He's only a six-year-old. There's lots of benefits here. Once again, as with Matata, class will show through, and Tutti Quanti is the most likely winner of this race by far. He should be favourite.
Ooh, there you go. Strong enough from Johnny Pearson there. The class animal in the race, Tutti Quanti, on the flat track. And Keith even gave a mention you can compare the similarities to Newbury as well. I do agree. I think Tutti Quanti will run a massive race on Saturday. Right, the next race is the 255 Air, which is a mare's handicap hurdle, class 2 event, just over 3 miles. World of Fortunes is 5-2. Twist the Night Away 7-2, Love or Namor 5-1, Game Colours is 13-2, Holly Hartingo 15-2, along with Fox's Fantasy, and double figures about the rest of the field. No selection for Keith in this race, but I believe Johnny Pearson has quite a strong one.
Yeah, we're back on, I think I did this show for New Year's Day, and I really fancied Love of Namor that day, and Mash on 2 ran out a pretty impressive winner. Love of Namor's finished fourth twice since, unseated once, been running consistently and fairly well without getting the job done necessarily. But the form says she's not far off doing it and actually winning a race. She's just as well handicapped, in my opinion, as anything else in this field. And provided, I think it's interesting, they've gone for the cheap pieces today. I think there's more there, but it's not all quite coming through. And I believe exactly the same as that. And I think she's good enough to be winning one of these races. Whether she does or not is an unknown. But she's more than good enough to. If the cheap pieces work and bring out a couple of pounds more improvement in her, I think she's a really good bet here.
Love of Namor then, yeah, around 5-1 with Unibet currently. Ed Nicholson, be interesting to see who you fancy again. Skeletons have got one towards the top of the market, but you're against them.
Yeah, I tipped up World of Fortunes to win at Kelso. And I don't see why I should desert her here. She won going away that day over the 3-mile trip. The Racing Post, the analysis of that race, say that she's better on drying ground. I don't know whether she is. She's won on good ground, but she's won on softer ground, as was shown there. That was good to soft at Kelso. She came second at Punchestown on soft ground, and she's won on soft ground in the history. So I wouldn't be too worried if it's good to soft or soft, which I think it will be. And I think she's got the best form in the race myself. And she is, you know, obviously giving away lumps of weight, given the fact that she is the best horse in the race. But she came to these shores last time and won going away over this trip. I don't see why she won't do the same again. Obviously, she hasn't been nudged up in the handicap. And that might be a reason to desert her. But I looked at the opposition and didn't really fancy anything else. So yeah, World of Fortunes is a selection for me. The price is probably a little bit skinny for a bet, but yeah, I can't see why World of Fortunes won't won't continue her good form over in the UK.
Okay, World of Fortunes then, yeah, tipped up at Kelso, but again with the horse, World of Fortunes 5-2 currently, and Johnny Pearson with Love of Namor in the 2.55. The final race we look at from air is the big one, obviously. It is the Coral Scottish Grand National Handicap Chase, 3.35 there, 4 miles is the distance, and Kim Rock is the 5-1 favourite. King of Answers 6-1, Quebecois 7-1, Road to Home is 15-2, 17-2 about Isaac DeZobo, Montregards 10-1, 11-1 about Ars Brewster, and 12-1 and bigger the rest. Keith, I'm going to have to come to you first. We know you love your big staying handicap chase. It's interesting because I did mention that Mullins isn't bringing over the battalion with regards to the championship. He has got Road to Home in here, obviously, towards the top, but the favourite is an Irish runner, Joseph O'Brien's bought over Kim Rock. What do we make of this?
I mean, look, the Kim Muir seems to be the sort of important race, and as we sort of talk about it, Steve Mason hasn't rated it terribly high, so those horses aren't actually coming out that well on the figures. Kim Rock's sort of his price, I think, you know, 5-1's his chance, and I can let him win at that. Very much respect him. He's, you know, got that good Cheltenham form, quite fancied him for the Kim Muir. But I think it's still another dead competitive race, and he's not screaming out to me as a horse that's going to improve for a marathon trip. Probably stay it, but, you know, it's I'm happy enough to let him win it 5-1. I think the one at the top of my list is Montregard, who has got loads of good form going back this season, mainly at Ascot, but there was a good combination when he won at Ascot last time. There was a fast overall time and a fast finish, which is always very positive, and he's only up £4 from that. He was out the weights that day. He didn't get put up much. So Montregard, I think, you know, given that also the Tom Lacey yard have that associated with the freebooter and Cruise Control were running that, this was always going to be his race after he ran at Ascot. So he's top, but I'm going to put a couple of bigger price ones in there just for anybody who wants to have a fancy each way bet. First one is maybe the slightly more obvious. It's Cap Vert, who's a young and improving horse. His form again, it's all sort of at right-handed tracks, but I thought the emphasis on speed at Taunton last time masked how much better he was than those horses he beat, and he's only got up £3 for it. He's a horse that has just been going, he's got loads of good form looking back all season. You know, he's got form with Vera Flay, he's got form with the Jukebox Kid, and he just looks like a horse that's going to relish a good test. And finally, we've got a lot of prominent Sam Thomas runners on this card, and of course we've got Catatadori in this race. I think he's had his day, Catatadori. He had that marvellous spring where he won everything, and I think they bottled Lightning a bit there, and he's not been quite the same since. Contrast with the evergreen Our Power, who was third in this race last year behind Captain Cody, and that made him the best non-Mullins horse in the race. And he's now £6 lower. Hasn't had a race this season. You know, he fell early doors in the Grand Sefton. He wasn't really put in the race behind Rock My Way at Ascot. And likewise, really, in at Wincanton last time, he wasn't really put in the race behind River's Corner. He's 11 now. He needs minding. He's not had a race. He's really quite interesting to me, actually, at quite a tasty price. So, first-time blinkers as well. I've read that as them getting their excuses lined up early for if he does go in at a big price. But he's a real springer for me at massive odds. As I say, Montregard's number one, but if you're looking for a big price each way with all the extra places you'll be getting, Our Power is a real monster price.
I've got a big smile on my face because I give Our Power a massive chance on this. To hear Keith back it as well. He's definitely up there. So yeah, a few mentioned there by Keith. You've got Montregard there as his top selection for JP McManus. Who would have thought JP McManus could have a big selection in a Grand National, even at Scotland? But yeah, he had a good weekend last weekend, didn't he? Cap Verz, you have one, and Our Power, a big price for Keith Melrose. There are a few stories in here, isn't there? Quebecois would be a lovely winner to see Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden potentially go out on a bit of a fly. And he's obviously got great form with the likes of Johnny Hugh and Jaguar, who obviously ran their races in the Grand National. I mean, Isaac DeZobo is another one who won the Midlands National. I think it's up sort of £7 for that run, but won that in impressive style. So it is a really good race, Johnny Pearson. Who did you have in this?
Well, as with Mr. Melrose, I am in full agreement with him on Mondragard being my best fancy of the race. And Keith pretty much said everything that you need to hear about the horse. I'd just be repeating what he said in different words. So we'll leave it at that as my number one selection. But as with Keith, I think there are horses in here who I might have a chance at a bit of a price. And I'll raise Keith's price and double it. And we're going to go with collector's item for the Jonjo and AJ O'Neill trainer partnership with John Joe O'Neill Jr. on board. Yes, he's not been running well this season. Soft ground, heavy ground, probably not suiting. But you go back to Chepstow, good soft, pretty good run behind Jubilee Express. He's got good form last season. Okay, he's not been running well. But that yard has been in good form, as was seen with their winners at Aintree. And horses running well at Cheltenham. And okay, this horse hasn't been showing it. But he's been coming down the handicap as a result. He's now down to a mark of 130. This time a year ago, he was running off 142. If he does return to form, 50 to 1 or so looks an absolutely massive price. Okay, you've got to you're taking a chance here. But at the prices, it's a chance I'm happy to take.
Mm-hmm. And the yard are coming to form towards the back end of the season as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't put you off that. So, you've doubled and raised our power to 50 to 1 with Collector's Arm. Just to let you know, Ed, if you did want to double and raise it, you'd have to tip up Stolen Silver here at 100 to 1. But I'm sure that's not going to be the case. Who do you like?
No, I'm going the other way, I'm afraid. I'm going the favourite, Kim Rock. I think you can look at this horse in two ways. You can either say this is miles too short, which I wouldn't disagree with if I was thinking that we already know how good he is. But you could look at it the other way, saying a step up and trip is going to see him improve. For a lightly raced six-year-old who is now going 4 miles, having previously not gone any further than 3 miles two at the Cheltenham Festival in the Kimura, which again was a massive increase in stamina from previous runs. I've watched his race several times in the Kimura. He's one of the very few horses that day that made a loss of ground up in any race at Cheltenham. I think he was 12th or 13th coming round the bend. And he ran on to finish fourth. Now, to my eye, he looks like he'll step up for a step up in trip. I know Keith, you know, sort of intimated that he's not too sure he'll improve for it, but he'll probably be okay. I think he'll improve for it. If you look at his French form when he was running over 2 miles, 2 miles two, he was winning in heavy ground, running well in heavy ground. And since he's come over to Joseph O'Brien, he's run 4 times and they've gone up from 2.5 miles to what will be 4 miles. I just think the 4 mile trip for a horse like this, for a horse that's rated 130. It's interesting what Keith says about Steve Mason's view on the Kim Muir, because he's been put down a pound for finishing fourth, beating 8 lengths. But if you watch the race, he was definitely staying on from an uncompromising position. I'm just hoping the step up in trip is going to show more improvement. So I'm going to take 5 to 1. And also, I think the ground, if it does go soft, which I've been looking at the weather maps, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes soft. It's soft at the moment, and if the rain comes down, it might get even softer. But I think probably it will be good to soft, but that will suit him. So Kim Rock at 5 to 1, probably the price is a little skinny if you wanted to get involved. But I think he's the most likely winner based on recent form.
Just a note on the ground, I've run, those that follow the edge, we do our going models every day. I put the current going state reading on Thursday from here into the model, and it is bang on the middle between soft and good to soft. Remember also that we really don't get many soft ground Scottish nationals. I can say this because I'm from the east of Scotland. The west of Scotland gets dead wet, but we rarely do get really wet and deep Scottish nationals. So unless the real top end rain comes, I think you're probably looking more like good to soft by Saturday. But you know, if the top end of the rain forecast comes, then maybe. And obviously we'll get Friday's racing to judge that fully. But as it stands, I'm thinking a little bit more good to soft than soft.
Yeah. Okay. I think Constitution Hill could have done with the John Porter being run at Ayr, couldn't he? Right, Montregard for Keith Melrose and Johnny Pearson. Then you've got Kim Rock for Ed Nicholson. Then honourable mentions from Johnny Pearson for collector's item at a big price. And Keith Melrose doing Our Power and Cap Vert as the other honourable mentions in the Scottish National. Let us know down in the comments who you fancy for the big one. And what great segue this is. Keith just mentioned the edge. Here's a little bit of information about our new product.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m., either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not, overnight market moves, eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, then brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet, Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Keith Melrose and Ed Nicholson, spinning you through the ITV action this weekend. We now turn attention to the flat then, four races from Newbury on Greenham Day there. Really excited for this car. We can see some exciting three-year-olds and potentially some good classic clues for the upcoming months. And we kick off with the 125 there, which is the Dubai Duty Free Stakes, which is obviously registered as the Fred Darling Stakes, Group 3 for the fillies, the three-year-olds here. And the current market has Tulene as the 7-4 favourite for Owen Burrows and Safi Osborne. Catching the Moon, 9-2. Dominga Ingis is 8-1. K-Sara is 9-1. Princess Petrol and Zooming, 10-1, 12-1, and bigger the rest here. Now you've got to really switch your attention, Keith, to three-year-olds on the flat here, and Tulene's form, she's a fairly, you know, heavy favourite here. Is that form as worthy as it should be?
Possibly. I mean, she's obviously won, she beat Xanthos in a novice the time before that horse, and she went off very short when she turned up next time in the Rockfell, and that horse beat her. But she was well beaten, she was down in fifth. There's obviously a lot of reputation there. There's obviously a lot of stuff that you've not seen on the course doing a lot of the lifting there. We've got Albert Einstein to come, so we'll talk about that again in a minute. But, you know, I generally tend to oppose that stuff. I tend to think that the inside information gets overplayed because it's seen as more valuable than it potentially is. So you take that away. A lot of these fillies classic trials, you want to find one that's, you know, run a couple of times, shown some real promise, and could be one to have a flyer on, like Asleep, for instance, in the Dale Gwynn earlier in the week. The one I've come down on, and I'm sure there could be four of us here could each make a case for a different one and make it compelling, but mine would be Stimulative Trip, who won over course and distance on her only start so far. And yes, the bare form is garbage, but she was very impressive. She picked up in a race where they finished at 107, 108%, so they're running, you know, a second a furlong quicker by the end than the way they started the race. And she still went past those horses like they were standing still. Performance of quite a good filly, I thought. And she's bred to be relatively fast as well. So in a race where you can a little bit take your pick and take your chances, I read some really good underlying ability in Stimulative Trip and would be nominating her as my small play at big odds.
Okay, yeah, 14-1 about that horse there, and I do think the favourite is worth taking on, in my opinion. Johnny Pearson, are you with that taking on the favourite?
I mean, it's as Keith said, you know, there is a lot of, this time of year especially, a lot of reputation comes into it, you know, hearsay from various yards, and you just don't know how fit some of them are going to be. Some of them, that you could have, within the yard, you can have some horses which just get themselves fitter by exerting themselves more in their work than others, so you can't just put generic banner over the entire yard. But I think Catching the Moon, I mean, is the most interesting runner. I think she achieved the best piece of form last season. Ryan Moore's a very interesting and eye-catching jockey booking, and if I was playing one against a favourite, it would be Catching the Moon, but it'd be a very small stakes in a race like this. I wouldn't be getting too carried away with anything.
Yeah, again, start of the season, it's not easy to get too excited from a betting angle in a race like this, is it? But definitely some clues for some bigger races down the line. Ed Nicholson, any strong opinion in this?
No. This meeting I always do badly at. It's just a race where you get the two-year-old form, and I tend to go for form and analysis rather than hearsay, a bit like Keith. They sometimes win, they sometimes don't. Only five favourites have won this race in the last century. This century, the last one being Alcohol Free in 2021. Tiggy Wiggy got beat at 11-10, then ran third in the Guineas. But it's all about getting horses ready for the Guineas this race and for other races. And we're going to talk about the Greenham in a moment. But that's well known for horses running to get them ready for future events. Richard Hannon always used to run it as what it's supposed to be, a trial for the Guineas and the Irish Guineas. So I'm got to go with the favourite only because she's the best horse in the race at the moment. She's got the form in the book, but it really is just a selection. I won't be having a bet in the race. I'll be watching it. Plenty of nice horses to watch for the future. But Tulane has got the form in the book. Has to be the selection. But I think, as been mentioned by the others, she's too short, and there could be anything else in the lineup. There are 15 horses running, and lots of them are once raced and once run. They could be anything. So yeah, keep the powder dry. But the selection would be too lean. And we are going money back second or third. So if you do fancy the favourite, maybe that's the way to go. Money back second or third with Unibet in this race.
Okay, money back second or third in the first race on ITV from Newbury, from Unibet. And like Jen say, it's not a race that they want to get too involved at all. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. There's 9 races on the ITV card. You do not need to get involved with all of them at all. Let's move on to the 2 o'clock, which is the 7 Fernon Watership Down Stud. 2 Darn Hot Greenham Stakes, a Group 3 contest for the 3-year-old colts and geldings here. And Zavateri is the 2-1 favourite here for the Eve Johnson Horton Yard. Albert Einstein, we weren't sure whether he'd get declared, but he has been 11-4. Title Roll in the same colours, 4-1 for the Crisfords. Alparsland 7-1. Gonna Fly 8-1. Needle Match 8-1. Ardashir's 14-1. And the outside of the lot with an interesting jockey booking is Akpan at 20-1 with Christian DeMuro riding for Roger Varian. God, where do we start, Johnny Pearson? Ryan Moore was jocked up on Title Roll throughout the week, and then Albert Einstein suddenly appears and they give a shock entry for this horse, and Ryan Moore's jocked up here. What do we make of this?
What I make of it is Zavateri is the best 2-year-old form in the race and is the correct favourite, but it wasn't that far ahead of Alparsland for Carl Burke, and I think the price difference between those two is too big. But I also remember watching the Breeders' Cup from Del Mar and wanting to throw my remote through the TV screen watching Ardissia, who I backed with Hashim Murphy on board. Mm-hmm. Out the back, got trapped, had to take another pull. The step up to a mile that day really suited. 7 furlongs is a nice starting point. I'm not saying they win the race here, but 16-1 looks a huge price on the Hugo Palmer gelding, and I'd expect a big race to be run by Ardissia, and definitely one I'm going to be following through the season, provided he can pick off where he... carry on where he left off last season.
Okay, yeah, this year, champion jockey Oshie Murphy on board that one. Another big price there. Keith, I mean, I'll give it away now, but I'm a huge fan of Title Roll in this race for the Crisfords. Obviously, the Crisfords will be separated soon, with them going their separate ways doing their own thing. We put a story out on the Race Post website on Wednesday, but what I find with horses like Title Roll, I feel like Maidan form and Dubai form can get thrown out the window a little bit, and it gets a little bit overlooked. We found that with Morge actually a few years back in the 1,000 Guineas. She won out there and ended up winning the Guineas at 9-1. But I think Dubai form can be overlooked. Title Roll ended up beating Talk of New York in Dubai after a couple of runs. And I know Talk of New York didn't get the best of runs that day, and he looked like a really good horse at Newmarket on the opening day of the Craven meeting. But I just think Title Roll is being so overlooked in here. I think he's fit, he's ready, he's got the form in the book, and we just don't know whether Zavateri, first of all, is trained on, and Albert Einstein, we just don't know whether he's actually as good as everyone thinks he is.
Yeah, that's where the Dubai form comes in. I hope the Dubai form never gets overlooked. Again, I mean, we've got evidence that it takes forever for these things to catch on. It took about 5 years, 10 years after horses started winning classics, having won all-weather maidens, before we started taking them seriously, the all-weather maidens. Maybe Dubai will be the same, but we've had Guineas winners that have come from, you know, not even 1,000. Last year's 2,000 Guineas winner had been running in Dubai, yes, as well. So, you know, hopefully that dies soon. I mean, Title Roll's got a lot to find on form with what Albert Einstein's thought to be and what Zavateri certainly was, and no reason to think still isn't. But you're right, there's reasons to poke holes at all of them. I don't think it's a particularly brilliant race. I was a big Zavateri fan last year. What I like about the Greenham most of all is a trial. It's the race where unexpected horses might meet, and the two behind the big three in the betting are really interesting in that regard. Gonna Fly, you watch his, you look at his pedigree, you look at the way he shaped in that back end maiden when he won on soft ground over a mile here, and you'd be thinking Derby trial. He's bred to stay a mile or two at least. And then you look at Alparslan, who's by Dandy Man, won a sales race at the Curragh. And you're thinking, well, this race is often a Commonwealth Cup trial as much as it's a Guineas trial these days. and Alparslan is maybe more of a Commonwealth Cup type of horse. So yeah, that's what I like about the Greenham. It's a real sort of two-faced race that brings together horses that you'll never otherwise see, you know, racing against each other. I'd be taking one of those at slightly bigger prices. I think in today's conditions, I might be looking at Alparslan. I thought he hated the dip in the Dewhurst. He went off 50-1 in that race, but he absolutely hung left, he hung right, he went absolutely everywhere there, having won against expectations and won by 5 lengths at Leicester on his debut and then hacked up in a valuable sales race at the Curragh the next time. You know, it's another one of them that he's been quickly cast aside because of one poor run, and you won't get many more obvious hate the dip runs than that. So I just thought that Alparslan was an awfully big price, but you know, I'll be hoping to see both those horses running good races over very different trips in the spring and summer. But that's what's great about the Greenham.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting viewing. Ed, the one thing that I find interesting, I'm looking at Unibet's anti-post markets here, which are always worth looking at, but is the fact that Albert Einstein, after that defeat in the Gladness, took a massive drift, I think, at the double-figure odds. And now this kind of Greenham entry, I believe money has begun to come back for the Guineas again after previously just being favourite on the hype. What are your thoughts on Albert Einstein? Do you think they're actually real? He genuinely is a Guineas contender, or do you think they're just trying one more time to see, you know, is he actually going to be a miler?
Well, they've put a hood on him, which isn't, I would say, a great thing. And also, I think it's not great that he's come over here for the Greenham. Aidan O'Brien doesn't send his horses that he thinks are going to win the Guineas for the Greenham. He's had 4 runners this century. They've come second, third and fourth. The last one he sent over was War Secretary, who finished 10th in 2017. So he doesn't send them that often these days, but the ones that he has sent have not been 2,000 Guineas contenders. I would be against Albert Einstein. Although Ryan Moore, as you said, has gone for him, having been dropped up on another. So, but yeah, I can't be about Einstein. But as I said about the Fred Darling, again, this is a race which is all, and Keith so well said in just what he said, that it's a race to look at for future. And the horses are running here as a trial. It is a trial. I mean, it is a grade 3, and group 3, and it's worth a fair amount of money. But most of the trainers here won't have these horses fully fit. Zavateri is the best horse in the race from his 2-year-old campaign, where he won the Group 1 National Stakes and finished 4th in the Dewhurst. So that's got to be the selection. But I'm not going to have a bet in the race again. I've noticed he's a bit weak in the betting as well. He's 2-1. He's probably the most likely winner. Eve Johnson Horton's had a couple of runners in this race before. 2 sixth place. In fact, one horse that ran 6th, Streets of Gold, I think helped the winner. Helped the future 2,000 Guineas winner. Chaldean was unseated at the start. And do you remember? And then won the Guineas. I think Streets of Gold helped him that day. I think the most likely winner is the best horse in the race from last year. But this is a new season, so I can't be having a bet. And you'll like this, Sam. Albert Einstein's one of his favourite famous quotes. Not the horse, but the man. Try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. And okay. I don't think at 2-1... Zavaretti is value, so I'm not going to have a bet.
Okay, I live by that quote, Ed, so thanks very much for that. The 2:35 then, away from the 3-year-olds, is the Mile 4 Dubai Duty Free Finest Surprise Stakes. It's obviously registered as the John Porter Stakes. It's been well talked about this race, and it was obviously due to Constitution Hill having the entry, but he will not be turning up at Newbury on Saturday due to the ground, which is a bit of a shame, but he will have another day. We know people love to talk about him. He's doing a great job for racing and bringing people to courses, but we won't see him at Newbury on Saturday. But the market looks like this. Currently Convergent for the Carl Burke and Clifford Lee team, 9-4 favourites. Pride of Arras is 5-2. Al-Azi, 7-2. Lions Pride, 11-2. Phantom Flight, 8-1. Bellum Justin, 12s. And Tenability is the outside of the lot at 16-1. Keith Melrose, we're going to have a stronger opinion on this because we have a lot more form to go on.
Yes. And, you know, when Constitution Hill was being touted for this race and people said, oh, that's, you know, the John Porters but all the old hacks go, well, it was quite unfair given what we've got in this year's race. We've got two horses that were nearly Derby horses last year, Pride of Arras and Convergent. And if they end up in Group 1 middle distance races this year, you wouldn't be remotely surprised, would you? Well, maybe Pride of Arras, because he's been gelded. So I think a lot of the good mile and a half races have been shot off to him because of that. But, you know, it's a very, very talented horse. I probably won't bet in it. You can't bet on this, but I think if he got this field back together for the St. Simon Stakes over the same course and distance in October at the other end of the season, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Ten Ability wasn't 16-20-1 by that point. You know, he's got a really progressive profile, sort of horse that William Haggis really kicks on with when they get to four. So maybe that price is a hair on the generous side and will be shown to be in the fullness of time. But I'm not necessarily inspired to have a decent bet here. It's a better race than people are making out. The four-year-olds are all interesting for one reason or another, so it's well worth a watch. It's probably not a betting race for me.
Okay, not a betting race for Keith Marrows. Johnny Pearson, I can generally see a case for a lot of these, even all of them, to be honest, and you could probably make a decent case. Have you got a case for one of them?
I mean, it's sort of similar to Keith, really. I don't want to be getting too stuck into something when you've got sort of El Arzy, a 9-year-old, Phantom Flight, 7-year-old, and you've got the 4-year-olds who've shown their worth sort of last season. But I did have a question for Keith and wanted his opinion on something. How we would sort of compare the 12 furlongs at York, 12 furlongs at Newbury, because I think that could, when you're looking at Pride of Arras, obviously, who was very good at York in May, then he went off the boil at Epsom and Curra, then came back to York and won well, sort of unfancied that day. So whether that's sort of going to play a part, I think, is quite interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there are York specialists on that round course just completely does me in. Still, why is York so specialist the track? And the way it looks to be with Pride of Arras, the fact, you know, he got gelded after his misbehaving in the summer says to me that he was misbehaving and that he'll probably be fine at Goodwood. He's probably at Newbury, sorry, he's probably not purely a York horse, and he ran fairly well in Bahrain at the end of the season. So yeah, I think giving him a chance to not be a York horse is probably the way to look at him. But I mean, he's going to run in quite a lot of races there, isn't he? You've got things like the York Stakes, and, you know, because the big races aren't open to him as a gelding, he's probably going to find himself in a lot of them anyway.
Yeah, interesting take. I think, as I say, I'm probably not going to have a bet, but I think Pride of Arras is potentially very interesting, along with Convergent. I mean, they're the two that I'd be wanting to keep on side, but the prices is not really much going for you for this race. You just want to watch and see what you can take for the rest of the season, I think.
Two four-year-olds then towards the top of the market. Eddie, you with one of the two four-year-olds?
Yeah, I'm going with Convergent. I think Progressive last year, he didn't do as well in the German Derby as many people would hope he would. But before that, he won a Group 2 and a Group 3 in France and Ireland, having come third in the Chester Vars, which worked out quite well with Lamborn. So I think he's... I'm looking forward to his four-year-old campaign, and I think he's likely to start off well here. Carl Burke has only had one runner in this race before, good old Al Karim, who came second, I think. So it's interesting that he's running this horse here. Al Arzy runs for the 10th time at Newbury. He's won four previous races at the track, including this race in 2021. William Haggis has got an excellent record in this race. He's got the best record of any trainer. He's won it three times with just nine runners this century. The other winners were Hamish and Harris Tweed back in 2012. But respect Al Arzy, but I just think Convergent has just got the bit of class and will be the four-year-old to follow, one of the four-year-olds to follow this year, I think. So that's the John Porter. I also think Constitution Hill would have found it very difficult to win this race. And that would have ruined his handicap mark. I'd be interested to see where he goes. We've got a column with Nicky Henderson today just being written. So we have asked the question, where is he likely to go? But I would like to see him at Chester in the Ormond Stakes, but I think they think it's a bit too tight a track. But who knows?
Yep, that's the side on my mind. But yeah, he'll have his day and we'll be talking about him very soon, I'm sure. But it's going to be Convergent for Ed Nixon. The final race then, gents, that we look at is the Spring Cup Handicap at 3:10 there, the mile race there. And we see the 1-2 from the Lincoln turn up once again. They are at the top of the market, Urban Lion and Rogue Diplomat, 7-1 joint favourites, along with Back in Black, who's also 7-1 Shout. He's 15-2, Linwood 9-1, Fifth Column and Classic, along with Whipcracker 10-1, 14-1 about Cogitate 16s. But I will stitch Graham Rodway up a little bit here, because I went to the Lincoln meeting with him, and he was on this postcast, and he tipped up Rogue Diplomat. As they crossed the line, he turned around and high-fived me, just to find out that he had been done. He even thought he'd won it after seeing Jack Shannon's reaction down the parade ring, where he didn't even know. But yeah, Rodway thought he'd won it. Whether he's with Rogue Diplomat again, I do not know. Keith Melrose, the two, like I say, the 1-2 from the Lincoln, another big mile handicap, considered the second big mile handicap on the turf this season. Could they end up doing it again?
They could. I mean, it's, I can't recall it ever working out. You'd think there'd be more link with the Lincoln than there is, I think, with the Spring Cup. You know, these are the horses that tend to run well in this race tend to run well in your Ascot mile big handicaps. A lot of Hunt Cup horses, a lot of Balmoral handicap horses actually run well in this. And Fifth Column, who ran in the Balmoral, was one of the last off my list. You know, it's a very deep race, and it's a race you could pick out several from. The one I've ended up coming down on, who I think is a very big price, is Stem. For colours you'll be familiar with, it's Johnny De La Haye's colours. So you'd more be thinking you'd see them at Ayr. But no, running at Newbury today, and his last run is the one that interests me, because before that, he'd been running over 10 and 12 furlongs. He's by Calix, and Calix has a fifth of the runners over 10 furlongs, as he does over a mile and 7 furlongs. You know, he's a fast side, he's an influence for speed, and there's not a huge amount of stamina on the dam side either. Then he dropped back to a mile at Newbury here for his last run. He finished second to Eternal Force, who went off second favourite for the Lincoln recently, and is it now rated £13 higher. Third was Lord Montague, who won his next start and has now won 2 out of 4 when he went abroad after that. And Stem, there were miles clear of the rest. Stem's not run since. He has been gelded, but he just looks like a... And maybe he's a Hunt Cup project or something. But the fact they're coming back to Newbury is giving me a lot of hope there. And the fact he's drawn in 17, yes, winners tend to come from lower draws here, but in 17 you've got options, which is a good thing to have. I just thought he was a very, very interesting horse at a price that he's got the profile of a horse that should be single figures, and he isn't, basically. And while it's a competitive race and you could sit here and make cases for 5 and 6 and I could accept them all, here's a horse with a single figures profile that's nowhere near single figures.
Yep, Stem 16-1 currently at Unibet, and imagine when we speak to her at the minute, there'll be extra places in this race as well. Johnny Pearson hasn't got a selection. I want to give a mention to a horse who, after his last run, he ended up in my handicap as the follow list, but I'm a big fan of Whipcracker, who he ran in the Irish Lincoln at the start of the season. Richard Hughes is my trainer to follow for this year. I think he's going to have an unbelievable season, Richard Hughes. But they've jocked up Ryan Moore here, which I find interesting. Moore's got a record of 3-2 on this horse. He's finishing the placings on his both times aboard. I do think he genuinely will be winning a big mile handicap this year, Whipcracker. Whether it's this one, I'm not sure, but definitely worth keeping an eye on him. I think he's a very good animal and could be very well handicapped, so keep an eye on Whipcracker. For me and Ed Nixon, are we going to get extra places, and are we going to get your selection?
Yeah, always a difficult race, Spring Cup. Interesting what Keith said about the Lincoln. I just had a quick look, and I think in this century, 109 horses have tried to follow up from running in the Lincoln, and 7 have been successful. I don't think any of them won the Lincoln, but were runners in that race. And it is a bit strange, because you would have thought they would be perfectly suited, but maybe the penalty or the increase in weights holds them back. So I'm going to go for a horse that hasn't run this season, that has been jocked up for a long while in this race, and that's Linwood. Richard Hannon does like to have runners in this race, and he's got a couple here. Classic, who we know very well, is another one of his. But I just think Linwood, a lightly raced individual whose best performance came in his very last race. I noticed that they've gelded him over the winter. Jamie Spencer, who's normally associated with hold-up horses, especially over a straight run mile, 7 furlongs, he likes to go forward with this horse. I think he made every yard at Newmarket. Has been put up 10 for winning that race, but won without coming under any pressure. Wasn't touched with the persuader, won by over 5 lengths. And I think he's got potential to be an improver here. Drawn 20, which, you know, could be okay. Jamie Spencer, one of the best jockeys, I think, in handicaps for getting the pace right. I just thought it was a good price, 12-1, the extra places in your favour, and doesn't have to lead, but if he does get an early lead, Jamie Spencer's one of the best jockeys to make advantage of that. So in what is a difficult race, Linwood would be a strong each-way selection.
Okay, Linwood then, with those extra places, Fred Nixon, Stem for Keith Melrose, and I'm going to be with Whipcracker in the Spring Cup. Let us know down in the comments you fancy in the big handicap at Newbury. Right, we're going to get the best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Keith Melrose and Ed Nixon. Now giving our best bets for the ITV card on Saturday. So here we go, best bets, and we'll start off with you, Johnny Pearson.
Yeah, we're going to go for the 220 at the Scottish Champion Hurdle. And it's going to be Harry Cobden, Paul Nicholls and Tutti Quanti for the win.
Okay, Tutti Quanti for Johnny Pearson. Then I'm going to go with Ty Tyrrell in the Greenham Stakes. Like I say, beat Talker New York out in Dubai. I know he's a little bit lucky doing that. I do think that he's been overlooked. He is going to be fit. I'm not too bothered by the jockey bookings. I think James Dore is going to give this an absolute peach. And the Crisfords as a pair will go out with a big winner on Saturday. To you, Keith Melrose.
Thought long and hard about this one. I had it between the two in the early handicap chases at Ayr. Just that rain maybe just puts me slightly enough off Calico. So it's going to be Cadolson Frey in the 145 at Ayr, a 3 mile big handicap chase winner waiting to happen, and he can get this novice one in on the way.
Okay, Cadolson Frey in the 145 at Ayr, Keith Melrose, and to finish us off, Mr. Ed Nicholson.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Kim Rock in the Scottish National at 3:35 in the hope that the step up in trip once again will see more improvement from this lightly raced six-year-old who's only had 4 runs for Joseph O'Brien and has only had 7 runs in total over fences. So the step up to 4 miles, I just hope it's a bit more improvement to come for my selection, Kim Rock.
Okay, Kim Rock is Ed's selection. You can see all our selections on the screen now. You can take a screenshot. There they are, the best bets for the ITV card on Saturday. Big thanks to the panel as usual, Johnny Pearson and Keith Morris from the Racing Post and Ed Nicholson from Unibet. We're going to be back again next week. Next week we'll be previewing the Jumps finale card at Sandown. Looking forward to previewing that action. I'm sure we're going to see some star names on the cards there. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Do like, comment, share and subscribe, and do remember to gamble responsibly. Thanks for watching.